Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another fantastic episode of the Silsila, The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, we are hoping that you and your family are safe and sound. But do remember the grief-stricken ummah of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your du'as. Because in some part of the world, you may know already that Muslims are suffering from different types of calamities and problems, from trials and tribulations. So make dua for yourself, make dua for your household, your family members, and make dua for fellow Muslims as well. Then, O Allah Azza wa Jal, for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ease their sufferings, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, for the sake of the fragrant breeze of Medina Sharif, Zadaha Allahu sharafan wa ta'zeema. Ya Allah, protect them against the cruelty of the oppressors. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have one of the best topics of discussion which applies to every single believer, every single Muslim out there. And we are talking about the sunnah will save you. Subhanallah azza wa jal. The more you read about and listen to or listen about the blessed sunnah. Because what is the sunnah? The sunnah is actually the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not any lifestyle, the perfect lifestyle. That if a person wants to live this short life to gain the maximum benefits, that only lies in the sunnah, in living the sunnah. It is a complete and comprehensive way of living a lifestyle, the perfect lifestyle. And a person who has intelligence, real intelligence, will realize, will recognize this as well, and will not adopt the decadent, the backward and self-destructive lifestyles out there, as opposed to the perfect lifestyle, which is the sunnah. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal grant us understanding and grant us the recognition that what lies in the sunnah and how the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can help us, can save us as well. So we're going to talk a little bit about this beautiful topic, inshallah ta'ala. First, let's make some good intentions. That the beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's not delay. As soon as you wake up in the morning, Shaykh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnat, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Tar Qadri, Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, the Akamil Wali of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and a great scholar of Islam, encourages us. When you wake up in the morning, start making your good intentions. Intentions are what is inside. It is internal in your mind, in your heart. You affirm it there. It's not necessary to verbalize, to say it. It's good to say it better so that verbally and internally they are in synchronization, and it helps, it aids in your concentration. If a person verbally says something but that intention is not in the heart, then it is invalid. It doesn't make sense because it's not coming from within the person. So let's make some good intentions now. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to this silsila of Madani Channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and convey this message to others. This is so important for us. If I want to taste the sweetness of my knowledge, I have to practice upon it. I have to practice for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I want more rewards, share it. Share only authentic knowledge and information as well. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, as Muslims, a Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very soon, sooner than we realize, we are going to return to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. We need to make sure that our salahs are in order, that we are punctual with our salahs. We have established our salahs and are performing them properly. Our recitations are proper, are in order. Our adhkaru salah, whatever we are reciting in salah, is also done with correct pronunciations. We must dedicate some time every day, whatever amount of time it is, but every day to recite some amount of Quran Pak, Durood Pak, Istighfar, Dhikrullah, and seeking knowledge of Deen from authentic sources. Never ever stop developing yourself. Never stop empowering yourself with authentic Islamic knowledge that Dawood Islami offers via different types of facilities, different types of platforms, courses, even online and specialized classes as well. Listen to this wonderful narration, this blessed hadith with regards to reciting Salat ala Nabi, Durood Pak. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, "Indeed, Allah Almighty has appointed an angel to my grave. This angel has the ability to hear the voices of the entire creation. Therefore, whoever sends salat upon me until the day of judgment, the angel informs me of that person's name and that person's father's name. He says, so and so, the son of so and so has sent salat durood upon you." Subhanallah. How amazing is that? How fortunate is that person whose name is mentioned in the blessed court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his father's name as well. Kya baat hai Madine ki? Allah, look at the mercy of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And look at the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, that this angel which is appointed to the luminous Qabr Sharif, grave of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has been given such hearing ability and power that he can hear, it can hear the voices of the entire creation, the voices of every single Muslim out there who sends Durood Pak from every corner of the world, wherever they may be. Look at the knowledge of the unseen granted to this angel, that he recognizes this person's name and even knows the person's father's name. Subhanallah. Now, if this is the status, if this is the kind of unseen knowledge bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this angel who is a servant in the prophetic court, what can we say about the marvelous authorities and knowledge of the unseen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who loves you and I as His ummati, as His follower? Why will he not recognize his devotees and his lovers? Why will he not hear their pleas, our pleas, and aid us bi-idhnillah through the permission of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? So don't stop the Durood Pak. Continue. Continue reciting as much as you can. This will prove very beneficial in this world, the grave, and the hereafter as well. We have a terrific kalam. Let's be inspired, inshallah, azza wa jal, and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ahab waqt rukhsat hai aaya al-wada aghsha. صدمائے ہجر کیسے سہوں گا الوداع آہ شاہ مدینہ بے قراری بڑی جا رہی ہے بے اب گھڑی آ رہی ہے، دل ہوا جاتا گئے پارا پارا، دل ہوا جاتا گئے الوداع آغ شاہ مدینہ، کس طرح شوق سے میں چلا تھا، کس طرح شوق سے چلا تھا، دل کا غنچہ خوشی سے کھلا تھا، آہ اب چھوٹتا ہے مدینہ، چھوٹتا ہے مدینہ، الوداع آغ شاہ مدینہ، کوئے جانا کی رنگی فضا، اے معطر معنبر ہوا، لو سلام آخری اب ہمارا، لو سلام آخری اب ہمارا، الوداع آغ شاہ مدینہ، میں جگا بھی رہوں میرے آقا، ہو نظر میں مدینے کے جلوے، التجا میری مقبول فرما، التجا میری مقبول فرما، الوداع آغ شاہ مدینہ، آنکھ سے اب ہوا خون جاری، آنکھ سے جاری، رو
على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. What a lovely kalam, emotional kalam as well, because we all yearn to visit Madina Tayyiba, the grand, the beautiful, the blessed, the beloved city of Madina Sharif, wherein lies our most beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all yearn to stand in front of the Rosa Mubarak. We all yearn to perform salah in the heavenly garden, which is the Riyadul Jannah. We all yearn to have a sight of the grand green emerald dome of Madina Sharif, and to be in that atmosphere, in that environment, of which there is shifa, subhanallah azza wa jal. Even in this blessed sands of Madina Sharif, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, take us to Madina Tayyiba time and again, take us to Aqsa Sharif time and again, take us for Hajj and Umrah time and again. Make this dua daily for yourself, for your family, and for fellow Muslims as well. Ameen bijahi khatim al-nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are talking about how the sunnah will save you. And for this, we need to empower ourselves. We need to read about the sunnah, research about the sunnah. We need to listen about the sunnah. There are so many orators and scholars out there whose bayans, whose discourses are available, whose material is available. All you have to do is go to dawoodislami.net and you will find an ocean of wealth of authentic knowledge. You will find bayans, you will find clips of and from Madani channel as well on diverse topics, subhanallah azza wa jal. So that's the first step. The first stage is to learn about the sunnah. There are so many wonderful books and booklets, 101 Sunan and Adab and others as well, subhanallah azza wa jal. If we come back to practicing, not just learning, the first step is to learn. The first step is to read, to listen, to empower oneself with authentic knowledge about the sunnah, about sunan and adab, Islamic social etiquettes, Islamic values and teachings. That's the first step. The next step is that we understand it correctly. And that is possible if we getting that knowledge from authentic sources as Dawood Islami offers, and from authentic scholars which Dawood Islami has. So understanding, learning, understanding, and then practicing, implementing, applying in one's life to please Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, not to please any person, not to please the community or society, to please by Allah. And each and every sunnah, if we have to cover them, it may take hours and hours, but I'll give just a few examples. A few examples that we are all doing. For example, drinking water. Look at the beauty of drinking water according to the sunnah. A person nowadays may go into the shop, grab a bottle of water, and where they are, as soon as they exit the shop, they stand and they just gulp it down. We even have people on social media, they have these challenges where they take this bottle of water and they try to quickly drink as fast as possible. That is not our way. That is not the way of Islam. We respect that water, and to drink by gulping it as a camel drinks is very bad for one's physical health. Medically, health-wise, it may cause different types of problems in the body. It may cause problems to the liver or other organs as well. So we are taught that you sit down, you sit, you take your right hand. By drinking in the right hand, with the right hand, this is sunnah, because we know it will save us from following in the footsteps of shaitan. Sunnah will save us from following in the footsteps of shaitan. He drinks with the left hand, he eats with the left hand, he gives, he takes with the left hand. What we do with the left hand is we clean ourselves in the washroom, so use the right hand. And encourage your children. Whenever you see they taking something to eat with the left hand or drink with the left hand, correct them in a nice way. Don't scream and shout at them. We don't want them to have a negative feeling towards the sunnah in a nice way. Oh, no. Drink your right hand. eat with your right hand, drink with your right hand. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would eat with his right hand. Shaitan eats with his left hand. Shaitan drinks with his left hand. So this is about the tarbiyah, the training and the nurturing as well. So sit, cover your head, hold with the right hand, recite Bismillah before drinking. So shaitan again does not join one in drinking of that beverage, whether it is water, whether it is tea, coffee, juice, milk, whatever it is. So you're protecting yourself. The sunnah and the adab of Islamic social etiquettes will save one from following in the footsteps of shaitan knowingly or unknowingly. And before you drink, you recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim or Bismillah, you look into the container, into the cup. Look into the cup and you drink with three breaths, right? Now, looking into the cup, you may know somebody. I personally remember when I was studying in Jami'ah, and I was at a place where I wanted some water. So on Madani Qafilas, in the Sunnah inspired Ijtima, I remember, okay, these are the Sunan and Adab of drinking water, that you look inside. You must look inside so that you are able to clearly see. So there should be some light where you can see into the vessel, into the cup, into the tumbler, before you take the three sips and then say Bismillah before. And as I was about to drink, I looked inside and what was there? There was a spider. If I just went ahead straight without saying Bismillah, without looking inside, without following the Sunan and Adab as taught by in Islam, I could have consumed that spider. And who knows what would have happened? Allah wa Rasul A'lam, what would happen then? Another brother tells me the same thing. I follow the Sunnah and once this is what happened to me. Subhanallah. So you see how the Sunnah can save one in seemingly mundane things. Like clipping the nails. We are taught everything. Which from where you start, where you end, recite Bismillah before, make good intentions. Subhanallah. Don't clip your nails on a Wednesday. It could bring some form of disease into a person's life, into a person's body. Don't grow it too long. 40 days is the maximum. Because shaitan sits on that nail. Today there's a fashion out there amongst certain categories of people where they like to make their nails long, and that's not our way. That's not sunnah. Be neat and clean. Neat and trim. Trim and clean. That's how the Prophet ﷺ was. Subhanallah. He was magnificent from every angle. He would smell good. His perspiration was natural itr and fragrance. But he should love itr. And you know, his blessed beard, hair would be oiled, would be combed. He would be, in our words, smart. Everything. Smart. Approachable. And a wonder to look at. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So, that saves us. That will save us if we follow the sunnah and Islamic etiquettes. Come shaitan sitting on our nails. But these little things, all of it adds up. If we're doing it with the right intention, because it is sunnah. So medically, physically, we are benefiting. And spiritually we are benefiting. This is one of the beauties of Islam. That you benefit worldly wise, physical wise, medically you benefit and spiritually you benefit as well. If we are doing it with the right intentions. If we're doing it to please Allah Azza wa Jal and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you're earning thawab as well. Subhanallah. Let's say, what about eating? We all have to eat. And this is also a practice of every Prophet of Allah. They all eat nikah, which is a sunnah, a great sunnah of the Prophets alayhi salam. Despite it being sunnah, Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, they never got married. But they and all the Prophets, from the first Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Nabi Adam ala nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, to the last Prophet of Allah, the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ate. So this is a sunnah of the Prophets as well. And you know, subhanallah Azza wa Jal, in Islam, we have to eat in order to gain strength And that's one of the intentions one must make before eating. So it can become an ibadah, a form of worship. Eating is also a form of worship for a Muslim. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. It is such a sunnah which has been practiced by every Prophet of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. He says, if a person dies of hunger as the result of a hunger strike, the person will die a haram death, will die a forbidden death. So that's not our way. The hunger strikes and this is not our way. In fact, the beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also mentioned, a grateful eater is like a patient fasting person. Subhanallah. Listen to this narration. How the sunnah can save us? This is a true story, by the way. In a certain area, there was a truck driver, and after a long period of driving, he stops by a motel or a restaurant. He goes in, has his meal, and within moments of having the meal, he dies. His body starts shaking and he passes away. He dies. Upon investigation, it was found out that so many other people were there in the takeaway, in the restaurant. Nothing happened to them. What happened to him? What happened to him was that it was found out via investigations. He was driving his truck, and apparently his truck went over a very poisonous snake. It smashed the snake, and the poison of that snake, it went right through the tire of the truck. And he had to get off at one point to check his tires. It so happened he checked that tire and he touched the tire with his hands. And that poison had got onto his fingers, onto his hands, without him even realizing it. When he got to the restaurant, he did not wash his hands. And with the poison still in his hands, or on his hands, he ate his food, and with that, the poison also entered into his body. And that was the reason of him experiencing death. Now think about it. That had he performed the sunnah of wudu before eating. Wudu here does not mean the wudu that one does for salah or for when going to recite or touch the Quran. Wudu here refers to washing the hands thoroughly up to the wrists before eating and the mouth as well. So look how the sunnah would have saved that person also to wash the hands after eating, not to wipe the hands on a towel after you have washed it before eating. Some people have this habit that they would wash their hands before eating and then go and wipe it. You're trying to wash off the dirt or any harmful germs, and now when you go and wipe it, how many people have wiped their hands on that towel? How many germs and bacteria is laden on those towels? And we're just putting the germs back into our hands. And we're eating our food with those germs. There could be harmful germs there as well, and bacteria enter the body and make us sick. Allahu Akbar. So look how the sunnah would have saved this individual. How the sunnah saves us without us realizing it. That if I'm washing my hands thoroughly, use soap if you need to, and not wiping it, and after eating, washing the hands as well. Just eating itself. If you practice the sunnah of sitting on the floor, subhanallah, sitting on the floor and eating, about making wudu before and after eating. There's a blessed hadith regarding this. Remember, wudu here refers to washing the hands thoroughly to the wrists before eating the food and washing the mouth as well. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, making wudu before and after eating increases one's sustenance and keeps shaitan away. Iblis, the cursed and humiliated one, the disgraced one, keeps him away. It seems like something mundane, something simple. Wash the hands before and after eating. So you're getting the medical or physical benefit, of removing whatever dirt, whatever possible harmful germs or bacteria are there. So the medical benefit you're getting. Look at the spiritual benefit. Look at the blessed hadith that it increases one's sustenance. Today we're saying, oh, I don't have any blessings in my rizq, in my income. A simple act like this can increase one's sustenance. Washing the hands before and after eating. And keeps shaitan away. Allahu Akbar. What are we waiting for? If we just get back to sunnah, whether I understand the wisdom, the benefits in it or not, I know that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the teacher of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he didn't have any human teacher. He didn't have any teacher besides Allah jalla jalaluhu. He is Nabi al-Ummi. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say whatever he had said, to do whatever he had did. With that in mind, who knows better what is best for you and I? The Creator? Allah? Or some person that sounds intelligent, whose oration and speech sounds so eloquent? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better what is best for you and I. And that's what he taught to the beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of ours. And so if you follow him without questioning, without thinking too much, why? What is the benefit of this? Yes, there are many narrations with regards to many sunan and adab and Islamic values and teachings where we have come to know about the wisdoms in it. We have come to know about the benefits of practicing upon certain things. But still there may be certain things that we are not aware of. The wisdoms are there, the knowledge is there, but maybe we don't know about it. We haven't learnt about it. We haven't researched about it. Washing the hands. Subhanallah. Sitting on the floor. Sitting on the floor in such a position where you are sitting on your left leg with your right leg raised up. So this applies some amount of pressure on the stomach and doesn't allow you to fill yourself to maximum capacity, and thereby saving you from any medical problems. Like one problem which is prevalent around the world, which is obesity. And we see it, how people suffer from obesity and other such related diseases. So something simple like sitting on the floor, which is a sunnah, can help one actually. Eating with the three fingers, the thumb, the index finger, the middle finger, will allow one to eat a sufficient amount to create a certain morsel which is sufficient for the mouth to handle, to chew properly, to break down properly. As opposed to just eating with all fingers and stuffing the mouth, that may cause digestion problems later on, where a person may not chew the food properly and give the job of the teeth to the stomach, and this may cause stomach ailments which may lead to other problems. So it all comes back to sunnah. The person practices on the sunnah, whether they realize or not, they will be saved from so many difficulties, from so many problems. Subhanallah. Recite Bismillah before eating. Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah, so that shaitan doesn't join you to you. The sunnah will save you from, save one from shaitan joining also, and from the blessings departing. Say ya wajidu before. So the food, that morsel, say Bismillahi ya wajidu, that morsel becomes noor and light in your system and acts as shifa, removes the harmful germs and bacteria that are there. So these little things, subhanallah, for those who punctually attend the weekly sunnah inspired ijtima'at of Dawud Islami, regularly travel on Madani Qafinas of Dawud Islami, attend the special classes for grown-ups, for males and separately for females, who enroll in the courses, more than 30 different courses are available online via Faizan Online Academy. You pick up things. One thing here, one thing here, one thing here, two things there, three things there. You'll pick up and you receive motivation to practice upon it as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another sunnah is fasting. Today we hear people, even people who are not Muslim, talking about the great benefits of keeping fast, how it acts to detoxify as a detox for the body. Obviously, when you and I do these things, we must do it with the right intentions. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, fasting on Mondays, because it is a sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on a Monday. And the first wahi, the first revelation came to him on a Monday. So if you fasting, fast with the intention of following the sunnah. Fast with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will then get the physical benefits of detoxing the body or whatever else it is. And you'll get the spiritual benefits as well. We have a short clip. Fasting on Monday and Thursday is sunnah. Let's listen, let's learn something inshallah, and we will be right back. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
There's a beautiful hadith I would like to share with you, which is mentioned in Shamail Tirmizi. Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa Tayyiba Tahira radiyallahu ta'ala anha reports that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would intentionally fast on Mondays and Thursdays. We had the practice of fasting in the month of Ramadan al-Kareem. Alhamdulillah, it would be easy for us to keep on the spirit of Ramadan alive. And we can fast on Mondays and Thursdays following the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. We will have benefits of the hereafter for sure, but inshallah, benefits of this world also. Respected viewers, as far as health benefits are concerned of fasting, according to one research which is very famous in this day and age, that is known as intermittent fasting. And an approach of a 5:2 ratio of intermittent fasting explains that one has to eat 5 days and fast for 2 days, Mondays and Thursdays. Allahu Akbar. The sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, which was mentioned 1400 years ago, even today's research is proving that has its own health benefits and helps to reduce weight. We can definitely follow the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam for the benefits of the hereafter, but inshallah we will also gain the benefits of this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to fast in other than Ramadan also following the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's further motivation from us. MashaAllah, what a lovely clip. Further motivation for you and I to practice upon this sunnah as well. Of fasting on Monday, fasting on a Thursday. Do it because it is sunnah. Drink according to sunnah because it is sunnah. Eat according to sunnah because it is a sunnah. Walk according to sunnah. Sleep according to sunnah. Beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us that do not sleep on your belly, on your stomach. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu does not like this position that a person would sleep on their stomach. Because one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a person sleeping on their belly, on their stomach, and forbade that person and mentioned that Allah does not like this act of sleeping, this posture or position of sleeping on the stomach. And this saves one from many problems. So a person who sleeps on their stomach, the weight of the spine, the spinal column, weighs down heavy on the organs that are below and causes major issues for a person. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to sleep on his right side with his right hand or palm under his blessed right cheek facing towards the Qibla. And this has been proven to have many benefits, medical, physical, health benefits as well in saving a person. Some researchers mentioned from Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease and neurological problems and what have you, just by the simple act of following a sunnah, the sunnah method of sleeping. I'm sure we all can do that. Before you sleep, you recite your du'as and surahs and ayatul kursi, etc. And sleep according to sunnah for as long as you can, and then you can change. At least we get the benefit of acting on the sunnah. So you see, the medical, physical benefits that are there. And because I'm doing it My intention is because it is sunnah. The spiritual rewards also come through. So that's one of the beauties, the wonderful beauties of Islam. And these simple things we can learn. We can learn and we can practice upon it. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our ideal role model. There's no one, no person better than him. There's no role model, there's no hero, there's no leader better than him. He's the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he taught us the most perfect life. Subhanallah, something I just remembered, that if a person wants to be saved from unintelligence, something very simple we can do. And this comes back to sunnah as well. How it will save us, sunnah, from unintelligence. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, the person who picks up morsels which have dropped down, morsels of food, maybe crumbs of bread or grains of rice that have fallen from the dining mat, and eats them, will lead a prosperous life. And his offspring and their offspring will be protected against unintelligence. How wonderful is that? Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to live a prosperous life? Who doesn't want their offspring and their offspring's offspring to be saved from unintelligence? Just by practicing upon the sunnah yourself. Some morsel fell down, some grains of rice, some crumbs of bread or roti or naan or whatever it is fell down. Pick it up, dust it, bismillah, eat it up. Look at the benefit. Look at the great rewards by practicing upon the sunnah, the thawab, spiritual rewards. By practicing upon the sunnah, then a person will live a prosperous life, a successful life, and not just his offspring, but his offspring and his offspring's offspring as well will gain benefits. So plan ahead, be a wise investor. Even the toothpick as well, that is sunnah as well. Use it because it is a sunnah. So you get spiritual rewards, benefits, and the physical benefits of removing removing the foods from the teeth that could cause dental problems later on. So coming back to the sunnah will save us from many problems. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.